that we will no longer need service Sabbaths, that every Sabbath there will be some team going out somewhere. But this is getting us tuned up. What do you say? And we're very, very happy for that. I want to recognize the presence of Pastor Josant Barrientos, the youth director of the Potomac Conference, who will be ordained this afternoon. He's given his former professor and mentor the privilege. I'll be praying the ordination prayer for him this afternoon. Very proud of Josant, Pastor Barrientos. Ushers, you can begin to pass out this little handout for today. To our online visitors, we continue to pursue the book of Revelation and its content for our soul's feeding. And so today is no different as we take a look, very simple and brief look today, by the way, at this prophecy that is familiar to many of us. I inform our online people that this 10th handout is one of 9 handouts available to you. If you just go online and request them, they'll be sent to you to accompany the studies we've been doing. And I have simply titled this study, don't consider it a sermon today, this study, Nothing Changes. Say that with me. Nothing changes. Let me slip this in also, because some of you have work assignments and you'll be slipping out during the sermon. We do have a lunch bag for you across the street in the church center. The lunch bag is only for those who are doing work. Amen. Who's the lunch bag for? Only for those going out to do work. You go over there all dressed up, shirt and tie. We ain't giving you nothing because we know you ain't doing nothing. But for those who are going out for ministry, you can stop by and get your lunch bag and know that we love you. Okay, let's pray. Father, guide us now as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a quick review over what we did last week. Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation is the halfway point in the prophetic development of the book. It's also a summary of the battle between good and evil. It begins with the woman standing on the moon. Now, quickly, let me give you an interpretation of the woman. You have the sheet there in front of you. This great controversy that takes place between Christ and Satan is a controversy in many ways over control of the church. Control of what? The church. Christ and Satan battling for the mind of the church. And in that sense, then, indirectly yet directly, battling for the mind of church members. We made it clear in last week's sermon that you are the object of the great controversy, and also made it clear last week that ultimately the great controversy, rather than being a war between Christ and Satan, is actually a war within you, between you and you. Remember, we took you to Romans 7, did we not? What I would do, I find myself not doing. And what I say I'm not going to do, I find myself what? Doing. So ultimately, listen to me, folk, the great controversy plays out between your ears. Even this week, you participated in that controversy, casting votes one way or the other, for Christ to forsake. But the church, the woman, is emblematic of the objective of the study. Wipe out the church, you wipe out its membership, you wipe out those who can be saved. You do understand, of course, that the devil has no intention of anyone being saved. Hey, but the pastor's got news. I'm trying to stay calm about it. I've already read Revelation, the 7th chapter. I know that rascal is going to lose a whole bunch of us because John saw a number which no man can number. Y'all way too calm for me. Somebody ought to be shouting right now. And if you got courage, picture yourself in that number standing around the throne. Can you do that for a minute? Yes, sirree. That's all right with me, Charlene. So the church represents, the woman represents the church. The interpreters say that the 12 stars on her head represent the 12 apostles. Clothed with the sun represents that she's clothed with the glory of God, the righteousness of Christ. The moon, the SDA commentary suggests, represents the ceremonial law, which is a reflection of the ministry of Christ as the moon reflects the light of the sun. And then there is opened in chapter 12 a prophetic birth of Christ, the child of the church. That's that woman. And go to chapter 12 so you can see it. Go to chapter 12. That's that teaching that the church ultimately produces Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. But as the Jesus is produced in the church, Satan seeks to snatch that and take that away. So let's just kind of look at that. Make sure we're clear. Everybody's at Revelation 12. Go down through it, make sure we have it clear because I'm going somewhere with all of this. And then, verse 5, she bears the male child who's to rule all nations. This is a prediction of Christ's ultimate victory, rod of iron. And then Christ was caught up, that is, his death, resurrection, and ascension, and to God's throne, where he now ministers for us in the heavenly sanctuary. Then verse 6, then the woman, that is the church, fled into the wilderness. She was where a place was prepared by God for her. She would defeat her there for 1,260 days. And of course, in Bible prophecy, that's 1,260 what? 1,260 what? Years. And of course, this is the prophetic prediction of the church being under the scourge of the dark days from 538 to 1798. The period that we now know as the Pergamos Church and the Thyatira Church, the period of compromise, the period of apostasy. And so the Lord says that the church will be under this kind of thing for 1,260 years. And then the war that precedes all this is described in verse 7. The devil does not win. Amen. Verse 8, the devil is cast out. Good news. Unfortunately, as we found out last week, he stopped here. He stopped here. And so this first section of Revelation 12 ends with these chilling words, be happy heaven, have mercy earth. He's gone from there, but he lives down here. Have you met him? Now, husbands, don't look at your wives or wives at your husbands. Have you met him? Yeah, he's here. Some of you met him in your boss. Huh? Some of you work for the devil. You've said it at home, might as well say it in church. Some of you have relatives who are the devil. Come on and say amen, folk. Amen. Friends who are the devil. Some of you were dating some people who were the devil. See, release your pain. Just say, hallelujah. Yeah. You've met him. He's here. He's here. Just trying to make it real. Trying to make it real. So he's here. He's here. Now, let's get to the day's sermon. So, Trevor, having set it up now, the war's taking place, even in our heads right now while we're sitting in church, somebody's battling right now to keep their mind on this sermon. That's the great controversy. God gave me something for you. God knows what I'm going to say, and the devil's trying to distract you before I say it, so that when I say it, you don't get it. So if you're having that battle right now, pray, Lord, help me focus. Because I know you brought me to church right, has got something for me. Yeah. Well, verse 13 picks up what the church is going through. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the child. Now, the devil hates the church because, Sister Deshay, we constantly reveal Christ. We do reveal Christ, don't we? I want somebody to believe that. That's why our members are in the streets today. We're revealing Christ. On your job, when you don't curse, when other folk curse, when you don't eat what other folk eat, you're revealing Christ. In your neighborhood, when they see you on Sabbath morning, take that Bible, stick it beneath your arm, get in your church, making them ask the question, why are you going to church on Saturday? You're revealing Christ. In that situation where normally folks would lose their temper and you don't and hold your peace, you're revealing Christ. So Satan hates us because, Jerry, we have Jesus. Now say it. I have Jesus. That was pitiful. Say it. Yeah, don't be afraid. Sometimes Adventist folk are too afraid to proclaim their salvation. Say it again. I have. You got him. And the devil knows you have him, and he hates you for it. So the Bible continues this scenario. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, thank you, Lord, that she might fly into the wilderness of her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half time. That's the same as the 1,260 years. From the presence of the serpent. So the serpent did what? Verse 15, what did the serpent do? Out water like a flood. Now, if you read Revelation 17, 15, you know that waters represent people. What do they represent? Stay with me now. Represent people. So this is predicting the time when Satan, during this 1260 years, would try to drown out or dilute the intensity of the church's message by having a bunch of people join the church who really didn't believe. And so we see many of these sins coming into the church during this 1260-year period. That's the water. That's the flood. You see, everybody who joins the church is not sent by Jesus. I'm battling with the temptation not to dwell on that a little bit longer. I'm going to keep on moving, Brother Palmer, but I want to say something about it. Help me, Lord. So this flood comes, and you must ask yourself the question, am I a part of the flood? See, Doug Levison, you and Audrey sometimes with your children must make sure that in your worship, in your connection with God, that you are truly representing Christ when you come to church. Amen. You do not want to be a poisoning flood in the church. Your presence in the church ought to be a seasoning, lifting, spiritual, converting, joy-filled thing. Are you poison to the church or a blessing to the church? So the flood was spewed out. Satan hoping that he could drown out God's word. But the earth, who helped the woman? Opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. We understand this to mean. Now, in the Bible, everything has this, in Revelation, everything has a meaning. The flood is people. So the earth is dry land. The flood means many people. The earth means few people. So verse 16 is predicting the time when the Christian church would be saved by the opening of the Western world where there would be few people. You follow me? And so the United States of America in the Western world became actually a saving place for the church because in Europe the church was being drowned out by various false teachings, various false ways, but there was a rise of religious freedom in this country. The earth swallowed up the flood. You should be thankful today that you live in a country where there is freedom of religion. It has a sidebar. You ought to be careful about electing anybody in office who questions and sanctions any way threatens freedom of religion. Help him, Jesus, to stay on his sermon. So the earth swallowed it up. The earth swallowed it up. Now, I'm ready for verse 17, where I'll be for the rest of the sermon. The dragon, who's the dragon? Is angry. Nothing changes. Go back to Revelation 1 and verse 9. When John, Elder Preston, writes the book, as you well know, you and I both have preached it, he explains why he's on Patmos. John, what are you, a Christian gentleman, doing in jail? He tells us. Revelation 1 and verse 9. Do you see it? Can you read it with me? Come on, everybody. I, John, both your brother and companion in... Oh, don't stop. John says, my being in jail has something to do with tribulation. Tribulation, okay. Tribulation, John, over what? And kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island that is called Patmos. Read the rest of it. Oh, I was in jail because of the Word of God. Now, I was in jail for a few days as a young man. It wasn't for the Word of God. I'd like to sit here and lie to you and say, oh, I was out there witnessing in Dayton, Ohio, and they're arresting. No. It wasn't for the Word of God. It's for another kind of word, but it wasn't the Word of God. John says, my relationship to God's Word was of such sterling nature that they could not stand it, and they put me in jail. Now, remember, we have told you time and time again, since I've been preaching Revelation, that the book of Revelation is predictive of the experience of God's people in the last days. Remember, verse 17 says that what's happening is happening to the remnant. So, verse 17 is about us. I'm trying to show you that nothing has changed. Early Christians were put into the jails and tribulation because of the Word of God, and you should be so word-filled and word-lived that your word-lived life stirs up Satan against you in the last days. Can I put it in a simple sentence? Christians really living the Christian life ought to expect problems. Now, David, you heard the amen. It's very pitiful, uninspiring. I'm going to try it one more time. Christians who are living God's word in the last days ought to be living it with such power and fervor and influence that it stirs up Satan against you. What do you say, saints? Now, that means that like John, you may wind up someplace you don't want to be. Nothing has changed. He was mad when the church started. He's mad now. He was mad at the founder, surely. Now he's mad at the remnant. We are the remnant. Praise his holy name. So the book, now watch this. So God put John in jail so that he could give him the revelation. You didn't follow it? I know you didn't. That's why you're sitting so calm. He needed John to be somewhere where he could talk to him. That's why you got cancer. He put you somewhere where he could talk to you. That's why you lost your job. He put you somewhere where he could talk to you. That's why your relationship with that sorry person fell apart. He put you somewhere where you'd start praying. He could talk to you. Sometimes your worst problem is your best step. Pastor's preaching now. Isn't he preaching now? Yes, sir. If John, Brother Pierman, had not been on Patmos, we wouldn't have the revelation. Huh? Is that all right? So that thing got me stirred up, y'all. Trials allowed by God on his people always have a heaven-blessed purpose. Your worst day is the first day before your best day. Isn't that something? Got to pause and wallow in that truth. That's good stuff. Michelle, that holds me up. Because there's been some rough days. Have there been some rough days? But God is saying to you, Iris, in spite of the rough days, I'm doing you like I did John. I'm getting you off by yourself so you and I can spend some time together. And things got so rough, Lou Preston, that John said, I was in the Spirit. Hey, in the Lord's day, I heard God's voice. Why? He put me somewhere where I had nothing left but prayer and Jesus. This is a good sermon, isn't it? Yes, sir, it is. Praise God. Praise God for the Word of God. My. So, 12 chapters later, in John 12:17, nothing changes. That's the message today. Nothing changes. Trials then, trials now. Trials when they first got started, trials as we continue. Trials in the beginning of the church, trials in the last days of the church. Now, note, it says he was in jail for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. Did you notice that? Now, keep your finger in John 1:9 and go back to John 12:17. I tell you, this thing popped out at me. Hadn't quite seen it this way. The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the rest or the remnant of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the... Nothing has changed, Lou. You see it? John was put in jail for the testimony. We are going to catch it for the testimony. You see it, Morris? You all see it? Nothing has changed. Now, I'm going to explain the testimony in a minute, then I'll be done. I'm supposed to preach short today, but I get carried away. Stuff is good, man. Stuff is good. Last thing my wife said to me, she said, short sermon, honey. I said, I'm going to do my best. Now, he's still angry. That's the first thing in that text. He's angry at anyone who identifies with Jesus. He's angry, number three, at those who relate to Jesus by obedience. See, they keep the commandments and the testimony. And then he's angry at those who have the testimony. Now, Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Those who are Seventh-day Adventists in the room today expect me now to go off and talk about the writings of Ellen G. White. Not going to do that. Because the phrase, the spirit of prophecy, SDA commentary says, Jesus witnesses to his church through the witness of prophecy. See, what is the purpose of prophecy? What's the purpose of prophecy? The purpose of prophecy is to tell folks what's going to happen. Am I correct? Am I right or wrong about it? The function of the church is to tell people what's going to happen. See, because of the Bible, I have the goods on the devil. And my job is to go out there and tell people, he ain't nothing. He's a big mouth bluff. He has already been defeated. And then I can tell him that Revelation says, one day the Lord's going to lock him up, tie him down for 1,000 years. Then when he gets done tying him up and locking him down, he's going to burn him up. I've got the goods on the devil. The function of the church is to tell people the battle is already won. So the devil, Dr. Deshay, is mad at us because we know the end of the story. We have been to the back of the book. We know it's all maybe in chapter 1, but I flipped over to the last chapter and found out that God wins the battle. We have the spirit of prophecy. And that's why the devil, Brother Clark, Elder Clark, tries to knock us around and bang us up, because he wants us to get so distracted, Charles, that we forget our mission. Our mission is to tell people it's all settled. The battle has been won. The turf has been secured. There shall be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Tell them. Tell the homeless. Tell everybody. God has got a better answer than we have. That's why as Seventh-day Adventist believers and Christian believers, we can relax during this crazy election. Just relax. Somebody's going to win. Yeah, somebody's going to win. One of them two people that none of us trust is going to win. But I got a testimony. I know one I can trust. His word is his bond. Whatever he says shall come to pass. Elect whoever you want to elect, God's got the answer here. The spirit of prophecy, Dave, is in us. We have the encouraging word. You have neighbors who actually think and makes a difference who gets elected. You know it don't make no difference. You know the difference maker has already settled it. You can tell your neighbor, don't worry, whoever gets in. You know the crazy dude may get in. But I'm all right with that because I know that God has got the answer. I have the spirit of prophecy. I have the testimony of Jesus Christ in my heart. So nothing changes. Give me my text, brethren. Put them on the screen now. Nothing changes. We have this sure word. Yet, come on, let's read. Yet, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's us. The remnant, wrath of God, gone, because for your sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. Keep on going, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. Nothing changes. You're going to catch it as you keep it. You're going to catch it as you live it. You're going to catch it as you believe in it, but you're going to stand. Our theme for this quarter is ready to stand. First quarter, ready for challenges. Second quarter, ready to proclaim. This quarter, ready to stand. We're going to stand. We're not going to be moved. Keep on. And if children read, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Keep on reading. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Keep on going. For what credit is it? But when you do good. I love that text. The Bible says, if you catching it because you messed up yourself, don't say a word. We don't need no testimony. Don't cry, don't boo-hoo. You get what you deserve. But if you're doing right and trouble comes, praise God, now you're a brother of Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us complain when we're catching the consequences of our own foolishness. Just keep your mouth shut. I did dumb, I got dumb. Yeah. Just don't say anything. Don't come to prayer meeting with all that stuff. You messed up, now you messed up. But if you did right and trouble came, give a testimony. I returned my tithe, faithful on Sabbath, faithful to my wife, and I'm catching it. Tell us that story that reminds us that God's word is true as long as you, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. He's mad at the remnant and those who keep the commandments of God. Well, that's enough. You tell my wife, I shut up now. That's enough. Was that a good word to hear? Yeah. Just as I am without one plea. Yeah. We just needed to hear that. We knew it. I said nothing new, but we needed to know.